more or less a pretty phenomenological talk. I list my collaborators on this and related topics in the past years. So, well, we know our brain world, what it is. It's, we probably live on the brain, all the standard water particles are confined to the brain, while there's extra dimensions which span the bulk. Okay. So this is sort of more cartoon picture in a sense that what we have is we have a stack, for example, think about a stack of brains where the gluons will stretch between these two brains, but because the brain on top of each other, they are massless, and photon will be stretched on the same brain. But W boson, for example, will stretch between brains that are separated, so essentially vacuum expectation value is the separation distance. And closed rings like graviton can move in the bulk. So this is the picture that we have. And the whole idea is that we want to find some way to test this picture. And yesterday, of course, we heard many constructions of these and try to get standard model, but the energy scale is such that it's rather to have an indirect test from high energy experiments. So here we turn to cosmology. The basic connection is through inflationary universe, and inflationary universe essentially solve a number of outstanding problems. It generates matter energy density from so-called dark energy. Of course, this is the vacuum energy before Big Bang. And at the end of inflation, hot Big Bang epoch started. And during inflation, of course, we also know that the density perturbation generated, and that density perturbation will provide the seed for structure formations. And they also provide the temperature perturbation that's observed in the cosmic microwave background by various experiments, in particular WMAP. So this is the framework we are talking about. And by now we know that the WMAP data strongly supports inflation, and presumably more data coming in the next few years will support more strongly or probe actually the details of inflation. So the inflation, let me go over inflation is that what we have is typically Hubble constants where given by contributions, and one is the cosmological constant of effective potential, curvature, matter density, and radiation. Okay. So during inflation, A grows exponentially because the H is constant, this dominates, and all these are inflated away. And after inflation, or towards the end, the lambda actually is a effective potential, and that effective potential will roll down. So it will roll down the potential, and then the damping or the preheating will provide the energy for hot Big Bang radiation. The important point is that you need enough inflation. That means that the cosmic scale factor A have to grow by exponential factor. And typically that means that in terms of Hubble time, you need like 60 or more. So that means the potential is relatively flat before it can roll down. So this is so-called the slow roll region. And this is not a necessary condition, but this is sort of the simplest scenario. Okay. We'll discuss other scenarios later. So how is inflation realized in the brain world? Well, it's very simple. You have two brains, for example, and if the two brains are BPS with respect to each other, there's no potential between them. But if they're not in a variety of ways, then there's a potential generated between them, and typically it would be attractive because the gravitational part will be long range. And so there will be attractive force between the two brains. And so what two brains is that before the brains annihilate, they will approach each other and the potential generated by the closing exchange. Okay? So the key here is that the inflaton is the brain relative position, which is the open string mode, which is the separation distance. But the potential is generated by the closed ring. So this is sort of an interesting twist. So if inflation happened, then you can start our universe with a lot of very complicated structure, a lot of, for example, defects or radiation or matter on the brains or in the bulk. And inflation will essentially inflate this direction, three directions, by a huge amount and end up more or less like this. So even brains intersect, the intersection point will be inflated to very far away. So effectively, it end up with brains which are essentially parallel in the some compact direction. So that's roughly the picture. So this is a cartoon, and we have brains which have nothing on it, and anything in the bulk also inflate away. And while they're approaching towards each other, the brain tension provides the dark energy or the vacuum energy that drives inflation. And then as they move towards each other, inflation took place. And then when they collide, the energy released, or typically two of the brain will annihilation and release the energy, and they will provide hot Big Bang, and the universe will evolve from that point on. Yes. Depends on details. So this is a gross picture, and then you have to take me a particular model, and then you can calculate. Tops? Depends on the model. 1,000? 1? So it really depends on the shape of the potential, and that's what we're going to go through. Okay. So that's the key physics, is that does the brain interaction is flat enough to give you enough EFOs. Okay. So, but this is the generic picture. So now to talk about the details, we want a specific detail model. So we can start from any realistic string vacuum, for example, KKLT vacuum, or any of the vacuum yesterday you heard about. Some people have many we heard about. We will work in a framework of type 2B or F theory. And in that case, you find any of the vacuum which look realistic or semi-realistic or your favorite vacuum. And in that vacuum, you can put an extra brain. Okay, for example, put an extra brain anti-brain pair into it. And those brain will provide, their tension will provide a vacuum energy. And while those brains move towards each other, then inflation takes place. Okay. So the KKMT is a particular scenario which is taking from KKLT like vacuum and add the pair of brain anti-brain. In their case, the anti-brain is sitting in a warp throat, and we can put that warp throat close or away from the RAPD7 brains as you like. And generically, without going into the details, you get typically a potential of this form. So there's three terms. This is generically a term which is coming from the Taylor potential plus whatever superpotential contribution will be. And phi is the brain anti-brain interdistance with the anti-brain sitting at its bottom of the throat. And T3 is the three brain tension. And H4 is the warp geometry because you're sort of at the bottom of the throat, sort of a Cabanel-Strassler kind of throat, or you can think in terms of deformed conifold. And then this is the Coulomb potential between brain and type brain, but again it's warped. So phi is sort of a 1/R4 because a D3 in 10 dimension has a potential of 1/R4. Okay, so this is generically to form the potential that their scenario will have. Okay. The details, of course, depends really on the specific model you have. Now, so KKMT said that if you have this term will contribute to the slow roll parameter. So slow roll is essentially the curvature of the potential, which if you want potential flat enough so that the inflaton can slow roll, then you want eta to be small for a region. Typically, you want eta to be smaller than something like 1/100. Okay. And if you just take this piece, then what happened is that beta is typically order one. And so in order for slow roll condition to be satisfied, beta has to be fine-tuned to maybe 1/30 or 1/50. Okay. So that's the fine-tuned condition that KKMT being addressing. Okay. Once you assume beta is small, then what they did is they ignore beta. And I will come back later to this number, which means that cosmic string tension, which we'll discuss in a moment, will be of number of 2 × 10⁻¹. This is calculated both by them and by Koblen, Meyer, and Puchinsky. I'll come back to this point. So at the moment, let's just keep it. So So what they have is that once you fine tune the beta to be very small, then there would be enough inflation to explain all the cosmological problems. Now, what one wants to do is the following: is that let's take the whole potential. Let's take the whole potential in the sense that let's not tune this to be small and ignore it. Let's keep the whole potential for the moment. Okay. It's easy to do, and you notice the following: if you keep the whole potential, then this term is positive. Say beta is positive, generically, and this term is negative for some phi, for all phi. But eta can be zero for some phi. So as phi is some value and decreases, then there's a region where these two terms tend to cancel each other. So there's a region where eta is small. So there's almost automatically a region where you will get some slow roll. So that means that if you ignore this piece, or if you ignore that piece, it's less favorable. Okay? So that means that if you keep everything, it's more favorable for inflation. And if you do that, we find that the beta actually has to be smaller than only 1/7. So that means that the fine tuning really is not necessary. You have to do some tuning, but really not fine tuning. Of course, still very important to calculate beta in other terms, because the cosmological predictions coming from the model depends crucially on beta. So for example, the power index of the spectrum, the tensor mode, how much it is, and the running of the power index, all would depend crucially on beta. So it's very important to still calculate this beta. But what we want to say here is that the beta don't have to be fine-tuned to 1 pi and 30 or 1 pi and 50, but it's somewhat more relaxed. Actually, things are more relaxed than that, because here we talk about slow roll inflation. You can actually consider a fast roll inflation, and that has been done by Silverstein and others and Chen. That is that you can take beta not small, then the inflaton will have a fast roll and slow roll period. And if it's fast roll, then you have to be careful. You have to take the DBI action instead of the usual simplified kinetic term, canonical kinetic term. And in doing so, you find that the inflation really can still be satisfied. That means you can get enough defaulting. And the data fitting may be constrained a little bit, unnatural, but you can do it. But what they're doing here is that in this paper is that they ignore the Coulomb piece. And as we said, if you ignore the Coulomb piece, then you don't get to a slow roll regime. But if you keep it, you get to have a slow roll regime. And in that sense that actually the beta can be much more relaxed. And as long as you allow both fast roll and slow roll, and you use the DBI, it seems that inflation is very generic. Almost any reasonable beta is acceptable. And there's really not even some tuning needed. Okay. Sarah will talk about that in the gong show. And here, it turns out that inflationary predictions are sensitive to beta, but not sensitive to the amount of warping, as long as you have some warping. So that's, again, an important point we come back. So at the end of the inflation, cosmic string will be produced, as we know. So in this case, is that you can think about D3, D3 bar colliding, annihilating, and producing some D1, and also some fundamental strings, for example. Now, it's well known in cosmology in the 80s, that actually early in the 70s, that if you produce monopoles, the density will go like 1 over A cubed, which is disastrous. If you produce domain walls, the density will go like 1 over A, and even that some interaction may cut it down a little bit, but again, it's disastrous. Okay? But if you produce cosmic strings, now even if the density goes like 1 over A squared, it's disastrous. But the interaction among the cosmic string have a interesting property such that they will chop themselves down in a way so that it goes like 1 over a fourth during radiation. And so in that sense, it's not disastrous. Its contribution to the density of the universe is scales like radiation. And in the matter-dominated era, it will scale like matter. Okay, so very interesting property. So that means that the cosmic string production is rather generic, and at the same time, it's safe, okay, as compared with monopole and domain walls. So, oh, So here is a little bit history, is that in the early 80s, sorry, shut up here. In the early 80s, people actually proposed, realizing the cosmic string may be safe, that they proposed cosmic strings as a way to seed the structure formation. Okay, so somehow early universe produced cosmic strings, and then we can use them to seed the structure formations. And that as an alternative to inflation, the density perturbation generated by inflaton. Okay. And many people work on it. It's a huge field. Hundreds of papers written on that. It's a very interesting and exciting field. And in 85, Witten attempted to identify the cosmic string as the fundamental string in superstring theory. He actually used heterotic strings, and if in that case the tension becomes too high, you don't get produced. If you can produce, you disagree with observations, and also the issue about stability and conflict with other property of physics, and also conflict with inflation. So he proposed, and he realized all the problems with that. But he also then considered superconducting cosmic strings. But here we stick to cosmic strings. Now, in the early 90s, COBE data come along, and they sort of disfavor cosmic strings. But in the late 1990s, the CMB data from Bloomerang, Maxima, that's C, really, once they see the acoustic peaks, that really showed that the inflation is correct and cosmic string is not the explanation for density perturbation. Okay. So, of course, then we have the presence of brains in string theory, and then we can use that to do brain wave construction and brain inflation, and that now leads to cosmic strings. And then in this case, what happened is that we were to see if the cosmic string is compatible with experiment or not. So what happened is that you have a cosmic string, which can be a loop, and they will oscillate, and then they will, for example, two cosmic strings will interact with each other. This is sometimes called intercommutation. And they will chop off a loop, and the loop will oscillate and radiate gravitational radiation. Or a single string can chop off by itself a loop, and these are the ways where strings chop themselves up and then form little loops. The little loops will oscillate and radiate gravitational radiation and sort of decay away. Okay? And this is how the cosmic string cut their own density down to a level that's compatible with experiment, okay? Or possible compatible with experiment. So this is some simulation done by Shalat and collaborators. And they essentially start with some set of cosmic strings and follow the evolution and using a supercomputer and see eventually what happened. So you can see the following, okay, as you evolve. The density is going down, not just by inflation, not just by expanding universe, expanding the way, but rather they chop themselves up and decay away. And you get long strings, you can see the long strings. And you can see also loops, little loops, okay, all over. And so it sort of give you a natural density. And the simulation will tell you what kind of density you have. So one can also do some analytical work to understand what happened. And so here's a simple model we have. This is a sort of a model that fit the simulation data very well. Okay? So you have a velocity, you have a typical characteristic length scale L, and N is the density, or in this case, the number density of the cosmic strings. Okay. So this is the evolution of number density, and 2HN, of course, is well known, the Hubble effect. Number density defined is, you can define it as the number of string crossing a particular area, okay, average. Okay. This is the velocity effect, because if the velocity is not zero, then they behave like not moving strings, you can ignore it. But if velocity is non-zero, and in this case actually it's quite relativistic, then what you have is that instead of going 1 over a squared, we'll go include, because it's behaved not quite like a non-relativistic matter. Okay. And the last term is important. Last term goes like n squared, means that this mimics the effect of the string chop themselves up, remove themselves.
self-interaction.
Okay, so that's why the minus sign is crucial, and P measures some sort of probability. And you can use this, and you find that automatically the solution will always go to a scaling solution. So this is for a billion Higgs model, and the fraction of the total density of cosmic string in the universe of the total density of everything is 8 pi g mu, and g is the Newton's constant, and mu is the cosmic string tension, times some number about 10. That number 10 coming from simulation. And v equals 0.65 coming from simulation. So this is important because that this number is independent of radiation error or matter-dominated error. Okay. This, once you have the cosmic string, they will automatically approach a scaling solution and approach more or less this formula. So you always contribute a sort of finite fraction. And g mu is something like 10 to the minus 6 or smaller. So the fraction of cosmic string is negligible. And so you have to measure it some other way. But that interaction is, you can include it, it's not important. Ah, yeah, here I'm talking about a data simulation, a billion Higgs model called vortices. Okay, now I'm going to talk about PQ. Each different kind of cosmic string will have different properties, and you have to examine each case one by one. Okay. So, what we have is that in string theory, of course, instead of having just vortices, like that billion Higgs model, cosmic string, as various people point out, so Joe and others, Koblen, Meyer, and Kuczynski, and is that to show that generically, actually, we know there's a richer, and then you have some sort of PQ string where P, if P measured a fundamental number and Q measured the RL charge number. And so 1,0 will be fundamental string, 0,1 will be D1 strings, but you generally have bound states like PQ. So your spectrum is very rich. Instead of one type of string, you actually have PQ run over a whole set as long as PQ are co-prime. And the tension is given by this formula, G string, of course, is string coupling. And we have chosen in a way where the G mu measures the D1 string tension. Okay, so we pull that up. And of course, their interaction is much more complicated. Not only they can chop themselves up, they can also have interaction which form junctions, for example. So now what we want to do is we want to know if this kind of string will cause problem or not. So again, we feed into these evolution equations. And now what happened is that instead of one equation, we have an alpha for any PQ. So in a sense, the alpha has infinite number of species. So the evolution of each type will have interaction with the other ones. For example, two types of string, two PQ and P prime Q prime will form bound state actually in two ways. And so they will remove the string, for example, alpha. This is evolution of alpha. This is the term that chop themselves up. And this is the term where alpha is removed because it collides with another string and form a third type of string. So alpha and gamma form beta. Or you can create the alpha string because gamma beta will collide to form alpha. Okay. And the interaction actually is calculated by Mark Jackson, Nick Jones, and Kuczynski. And Koji Hashimoto will talk about that later. And we use a simplified version of that interaction, and then we plug it in. So now what we have a set of infinitely coupled equations, and then we can try to solve this set of equations to see what the answer is. Okay. So that's what we did. And we get the following result, roughly. Okay. So you can start, we have two, here's the sort of numerically solving that set equation. Let me point out key is that we are not doing simulation. Okay, simulation is just too difficult at the moment. The abelian Higgs model that we have shown, the simulation, was done by Alan Martin Shalhoub, and the computer code is 20,000 lines of code. Okay, so and that's only for one species. So here, obviously, the simulation would be highly non-trivial. So what we did is instead is that solve this set of equations, but still we need numerical to solve this. And the solution turned out goes like follows. So here I have two sets of curves. So let's look at a solid curve. The solid curve here is the total initial density for all species of string, sum over all PQ. While the lower curve here is the 0-1 string, okay, in particular, how much 0-1 string. So as they evolve in time, rapidly they approach some scaling solutions. Okay, this is measured in terms of omega. Now, if I start with different density, for example, down here, all species are in 0-1-1-0. You see that, again, they approach the scaling solution. While the solid line is that the 0-1 is very little, okay, of all. I put top layer with all different PQ. So I have initial density is different, initial distribution of density is different, and rapidly they all go scaling solution. So it's very, very robust, the scaling property. Okay. And that means that the total density and each species density of the strings will give you a well-defined fraction of the total density. And the time scale is pretty fast. A goes like 1,000 pretty much is approach scaling already, which means that if the universe heat up at a temperature 10 to 13 GeV, for example, then by the time you get to 10 to 10 GeV, you are already in a scaling regime. So, because the density in string is very small compared with other matter, that is the rest of the matter that drives the expansion. Cosmic string is, okay, so this is done in radiation, but you can follow the scaling even from radiation, pass through, transition to matter dominated. Doesn't matter, yes. Doesn't change a little bit, doesn't change much. Okay. It's very robust. So if you do a billion Higgs model, the simulation will tell you that there's roughly 40 long strings of horizon size, okay, starting from very early. So over the evolutionary universe, there will be 40. Okay. That's what Paul Schlatt said. And then there's a lot, and then there's another maybe 9 times of the density in loops of all sizes. So this will be again here. And the reason that the scaling is so robust is because as the tension, so this is 0-1-1-0, and this is 1-1, you know, and the density of these is dropped rapidly, goes like more like a tension to the minus 8. Okay. So that's why the evolution is relatively easy to do, is because of the rapid convergence. That means the high tension strings are really totally very much suppressed. Oh, 5 minutes. Okay, so let me just say that from the observational bound WMAP, we have find the bound on Gmu is 5 × 10⁻¹. And now you go back to what KKMT and relaxed it, you find that the tension, instead of a very small number, actually span a region which is saturated experimental bound, while down here is rather small. Now, if you want to seed the galaxy, you need to be like 10⁻⁶. And that's ruled out by WMAP data. So now I'm going to talk about searching for cosmic strings. I go relatively fast on this. First, I'm going to talk about lensing. First is the usual gravitational lensing. The image is very complicated, like here pictures. Okay. So what cosmic string is different because that you have a cosmic string which will generate with a deficit angle. So what you see, if you're sitting here, you look at an image, you will see a double image, identical image, okay, where the cosmic string lensing, because that this is the triangle chop out, this is identified with that. So cosmic string lensing is very easy to identify. And there is one observational claim called CSL1 by a group, and they find a double image. Here you can see more clearly, two almost identical images, and then they claim that this is due to cosmic strings. If you take the number they have, the translation of tension, which is very close to the upper value that's allowed by what we argue from KKMT scenario, for example. They didn't get the coordinates, but Mark Jackson will tell you where they are. However, if there's a cosmic string, the important thing is that you see a double image, then nearby you should see some other lensing events. And they claim they see another 11 candidates. And so it's been, other people are trying to reproduce their result and check their result at the moment. And double image is good, but still you can say that double image is because one of them just accidentally looked like the other one. And so it's not really foolproof. But much more spectacular is something like this, okay? Instead of double image, the string sort of chop off one of the image. So if you see one galaxy and another part of galaxy which is identical to this one, but then it's chopped off like by a knife, then I think there's no way you can produce such an event except by cosmic strength. So. Now, there's a claim by Low and Wright a few weeks ago that once you have a double image, then a cosmic string moving, then you can look at the temperature difference between the two sides. And then they use the WMAP data and look at the temperature difference on the two sides. And they claim they see a two sigma effect from the first year of WMAP data. Of course, two sigma is not really much. But Wright is a member of the WMAP, and he has seen the next 2.5 years data. And I don't know what it means. So the other way to CMB, CMB, of course, is that we have these acoustic peaks from inflation. But cosmic string, we produce something which is actively produced density perturbation or temperature fluctuation. And we'll go out to a scale which is very large. And around L, which is about 2500, it starts to become dominate over the inflation. So that's another way. You go to large L, and you look for excess of temperature fluctuation. So this is the CBI data and FBAR. And they see, so the solid curve is prediction by inflation. This is well-known acoustic peaks. And this course is the CBI data, and this is the FBAR data. And they do seem to see an excess, although the significance is not very big, and they got to take more data. So we expect cosmic string will give you excess maybe three times bigger than inflation around this region. So that's another possible way to detect it. Another way to detect is the B-mode polarization, which is sort of the holy grail for next round of CMB. And here's the curve, is that you have B-mode. Okay, this is the one, the temperature we all know, but plot in a way which acoustic peaks. And then this is the electromode. And then the B-mode is usually very small. And if you, from inflation, the tensor perturbation give you this. But cosmic string will give you something quite a bit bigger. So that's something that they can measure. In fact, they don't have to wait for a satellite because all you need is a little patch of sky. And they can do it both in Chile and in South Pole. OK, now then we have cuts and kinks, which is another interesting way. And here I borrow from KITP, borrow from Mark. I think probably Joe Kaczynski generated, I don't know who, but is that typical string evolution will have cusp and kink appear all the time. And if that happens, they will produce a gravitational wave burst, which can be detected. And the more Vilenkin have calculated that, and typically we expect P to be around 1 or 10. And you can see that this is the read that predicted by string theory. Okay, so string theory say the cosmic string tension is in this region. And in this region, you can see that the LIGO 2, advanced LIGO, will definitely be able to cast or falsify. This is God time machine for cosmic strain, read by and spoke. So this is summary of remarks. So we think that the brain was rather generic in describing our universe today. And brain interaction will provide a geometric picture for inflation. And the graceful exit from inflation will start the hot Big Bang, and cosmic string is produced. And we can test cosmic string. That's the key. The test is not that many years away. I'm not saying that we have any evidence at the moment, but the various hints tells us that it really a matter of months to check out those hints. So it's very likely that we know within a year that are those events correct or not. So it's really very testable. And then the cosmic superstring is very different from Wheeling-Higgs model and because of interaction and its properties. And again, that's very testable. And so it will provide a window to the superstring theory. And there's some Last one is some outstanding problems, question of course, sort of skip. For stability of these strings inside D3 brain, that remains to be understood better. Reheating, of course, is hardly any work on it. That requires a better understanding of tachyon rolling. And of course, in the real model, the spectrum is not PQ, but more non-trivial, and that should be worked out. And when you consider other brain inflationary scenario, brains at angle, D3, D7, so yesterday, Zuckerman talked about that. And of course, we should also think about other scenarios in the string theory. People have talked about racetrack, system. And once you really examine those closely to see which one is most natural, and that will also firm up the prediction of cosmic strings and the prediction of the various parameters that can be measured in the CFD. Thank you. That would be good, yes. Well, again, how much knockdown density, again, it depends on the details and depends on the cosmic string tension. So my gut feeling is that you can eventually put a bound on it because the cosmic string tension closer to the upper bound versus lower, the effect in CMB is totally different. And I believe what you can do is you can put a bound eventually. So, which would be very, very useful. Okay. I mean, there's no question that you can pin it down, would be very useful. Oh, if you see cosmic string, I think that goes a long way because there's no good natural model which give you a billion Higgs vortices. You can artificially construct one, but that's really no motivation. But if you see it, then you can do a number of things. You can look at the densities, the spectrum, by lensing or by gravitational wave burst. And if you measure a spectrum of the tension, okay, that will go a long way. Because in string theory, for example, PQ string is a simple, more realistic spectrum one can calculate. And different compactification will give you a different spectrum. And the tension, spectrum of the tension. And if you measure more than one tension, you can just plot the tension, do the spectroscopy of cosmic string tension. And no, you can still do it because the density from any of these cosmic superstring will be different from a Billing Higgs model. For example, a Billing Higgs model will see 40 long strings. And if you see 50 or 30, that tells you it's not a Billing Higgs model. It's something more non-trivial. And you can do lensing on the Y junction. There's a whole set of things you can do to distinguish what type of cosmic superstrings they are. And that will be. And the spectrum typically, as we see, even the PQ, very simple one, is non-trivial. And the other one's even more non-trivial. So I think with enough data, I think one can definitely resolve that. And furthermore, the measurement at this moment very crude. For example, the lensing event is measured by optical. You can go to radio, and if they're proposing a square kilometer array, we have resolution which is 1,000 times better. And that means that in a patch, you, instead of having maybe 100 pixels, you're going to have a million pixels. So you really can probe much deeper than what you've done. And I think that way one can distinguish not only a Billing Higgs model from superstring, cosmic superstring, but which type of cosmic superstring.